Hey everyone, welcome to the Worship Artistry Podcast. My name is Jason Houtsma, and with me, down sick with COVID, Daniel Ornelas. I can, but I won't tell you why.
Oh man, it's not fun, is it?
No. Well, it's never fun to be sick.
Nah. I've basically got a version of the flu in my life here. It's not wonderful. So just keep praying for me, folks, that I'll be here on the next podcast.
Yeah, no kidding. Super glad. I mean, you're already bouncing back, so it's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to see that. So I'm going to try and keep this nice and short for you, Daniel, because, you know, I don't want you to pass out in mid-podcast. So let's talk about the song we just taught right before you got sick, which is
I Choose to Worship
by Ren Collective.
I choose to worship. I choose to bow.
Yeah, what a great song, man. I love it. It almost falls in line with the last song we taught, right? Lyrically, content-wise. You know, just about the struggle in life. And I like this one's bridge because it really talks about how, you know, when the enemy tries to remind you that about things not working out, that you're able to say, no. No, sir. Not so fast. Just the devil, man.
Well, I like, too, how it's based on choice. You know, I think, because I think we do have to choose to worship, right? It is something we don't often talk about. We have a lot of like declarative statements, but to actually put in that place of like, I don't feel it. And I might not even want to, but I'm still going to choose to, because it's what I'm commanded to do. And it's because I do believe in you and God is faithful. I thought it was interesting though. You know, it's been a while since we've done a Ren Collective song, and I was thinking about just their style of music and how they've changed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was banjo in this one, but barely.
Oh yeah, barely. You know, it was just there.
just kind of there at the end. But it's funny. I was thinking about how music styles change and how, you know, I remember joking around with a friend of mine. In fact, the one that we're about to talk to on the interview, we had this ongoing joke because I would always tell people when I was a freshman in college, ska had just blown up, and I was like, you know what? By the time I graduate, nobody will be listening to ska. And sure enough, that was exactly the case. And I kind of feel a little bit, and I didn't make this prediction so much. But you know, I was listening. I was in the doctor's office the other day, and they let me choose the playlist that I was listening to, because I had to like sit there still for a long time. And so I was like, oh, just, you know, put on the War on Drugs for me. And so they put that on, but then right after that song, they must have gotten done to the radio thing. And so the Lumineers came on. Very similar kind of sound to that, like, you know, foot stomping, all acoustic instruments, lots of haze. But I was just thinking about how that's like, not really since ska has a style of music like blown up so fast and then just nobody's doing it anymore.
Yep. I saw a picture of, like, I can't remember, it was some kind of meme about, it said 2020 or whatever, whenever the thing kind of was, we knew that this was going to end. You just see a huge, gigantic pile of big kick drums and, like, banjos and random stuff all in a huge dump.
That's hilarious. I remember talking to my friend Chad Segura, also a friend of the podcast, and he was talking about how one year he's at the Dove Awards, and it was the year that all that stuff was blowing up, and he's like, I counted, there were 9 bands that performed, all of which had a banjo. He's like, and none of them had banjos before.
Yeah, and none of them have banjos now.
Yeah. So I was actually really impressed, you know, when I saw Ren Collective come up. I like, they're always pretty challenging on, like, especially on the acoustic guitar. They'll do some interesting finger picking patterns or interesting rhythms. In the past, I've actually had to go and take the banjo parts and put them on electric guitar because it was such an integral part to the song. Yeah. And just really listening how they've managed to, like, stay who they are, but still adapt. And not and I thought the song was a great example of how well they did that.
Yeah, it was really cool. In fact, usually the bass line's also kind of circusy, you know, there's a lot going on. But for this one it was more traditional worship driven kind of bass line. So it was actually quite a pleasant surprise for me. I didn't have to pull out my stilts and wander around the studio and play like a circus bassist.
Oh, what I wouldn't give to see that.
Stalking around with my circus base and my clown mask on my face.
Just big baggy pants with the suspenders.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Well, yeah, so I'd highly recommend going and check that song out. I actually really, really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed teaching it. It's a lot of fun stuff. Let's talk about our guest today. We're sticking with our same idea of kind of working with different worship pastors and different people in ministry. Last week, if you missed it, we had Jeff Flint, who is a senior pastor and also the worship leader at his church. And just a really encouraging conversation. And this week, we have another friend of mine, Ron Pye, who is a worship pastor here in town. We've actually had him on the podcast before. It was back on the episode where we talked about big church versus small church and kind of what we have in common in terms of the way we do things, and because he's been in both environments. And we just had a great conversation about, you know, what's been on his heart, which is, you know, he does such a good job of challenging his musicians and finding ways to keep the music interesting. And even challenging himself. And I just found myself walking away from it going, man, that's just, it inspires me. It makes me want to like try some harder stuff. So
that sounds awesome.
Without further ado, Ron Pye. Mr. Ron Pye. What is up, man? How are you?
I'm good.
You know, I was thinking about it. You know, when I first started thinking about bringing the worship pastors on, I was like, well, I mean, we have done this before. Ron Pye has joined the podcast.
Yes.
And he counts.
It was a couple years ago.
For sure. Yeah.
A few years ago.
Look at how much more mature you are.
I know. Wisdom.
You're surviving a pandemic.
Yes.
You know, streaming. You've done all the things.
All of them. My hair got grayer, more gray.
We call that distinguished.
Yes. It's a crown of wisdom.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I'm looking forward to someday having my own crown of wisdom. If it grows in as fast as my beard, we will be waiting a long time. Well, I'm super happy to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's just start off. Why don't you tell us a little bit just about, tell me about Cornwall Church. You've been worship pastor there. You came from a small church at Roosevelt Community. You are now a worship pastor at a much larger church. Tell me a little bit about your current setup.
Current setup? I think we're a lot like most churches. You know, people have left and people have come and they don't like things and they do like things, and I've seen a lot of that this in the past year. Mm-hmm. And that's hard, you know, pastorally it's hard because, you know, it's that little bit of rejection that you get when people leave. And I mean, that's ministry too.
Yeah. So you feel that.
Yeah. It's been a tough year, but at the same time, it's been a great year because, we've been able to experiment more with, and dream more because we've had more time with the things and think about like, what is it that we think that God is saying and where is he moving and where is he directing and leading and trying to lean into that more.
So where is that? Can you let me know?
Where is he? Maverick. No.
Maverick. Oh, Maverick City. You of the don't listen to my metronome.
Yeah. Oh, for real. No, I think, you know, there was a time of mourning, obviously, and we leaned pretty heavy into that. Like we did a song by Rita Springer called Midnight, and just a beautiful, beautiful song, but a song of lament, you know, and then saying, but God, you won't leave me, you know, in the midnight. And it's just like a wonderful song, and our congregation really attached to it, to where, you know, when we had a live service, we played it, not thinking many people would know it, but I mean, like, it was probably one of those songs where you're like, wow, that was, people were engaged with it, and you're kind of shocked because you're like, never have we played it, you know, live before, but it was like one where people were engaged, and so, you know, I think God led us through lament. I think he's leading us into joy and, you know, hopefully. Hopefully. I mean, that's where...
I mean, if Phil Wickham's House of the Lord
wow.
is any thing.
Yes. I'm saying, man, like, I mean, I think there's a need for joy, you know, because when we sit and lament too long, you know, we end up building a house and never leaving. And so it's, I don't know. I think joy is where I'm headed.
That's a great picture. It is such a balance of trying to figure out, okay, I think with worship, you're always dealing with, you know, recognizing where I am as a human,
mm-hmm.
but then also recognizing, but God is this. It's yes. always like, but God.
Yeah.
But God. You know, like, it's like, yes, I feel this way, but God.
Yeah, it's a continual, like, kind of digging into that, like, what is God telling me? How is God leading? And you're right. It's like very easy for us to be like, and I don't want to discount anything that people are feeling. Like, there are still feelings of lament and mourning. And I know that, but God does tell, you know,
yeah.
the joy comes in the morning, like the next day, like at that light. And if we got to be looking for it, if we're not looking for it, then we're going to miss totally what God has for us. So
that's why we meet at church on Sunday morning. Joy comes in the morning.
Yeah.
The Saturday night services, yeah. forget it.
They
man.
Miss it.
Especially in the Pacific Northwest, where right. it's dark at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, right. I always call our Saturday night service like the empty nesters. It's like, these are the people who don't have kids, and they're like, well, Seahawks play tomorrow. So if I time it out right.
Just right. I know. Now, I mean, now with, you know, on demand, you can work with it. But I often feel like, If I am watching it on a delay, I'm not affecting the game like I normally do.
Right.
Like normally I'm able to influence what's happening on the field right. from my couch.
Right.
But I can't do it.
If you're on the delay, then, you know, you're the bad luck.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're trusting God to have already gone before you. It's like preparing yeah. for the service right. rather than just being there in the moment and saying like, okay, God, what song are we doing now?
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. Just
trusting that God can speak to you all the time.
Meanwhile, the slide guy's like,
oh man, I actually had, it's funny, you know, we've at our church, we've been without a building. And so we were just a couple weeks ago, we got in for the first time and man, I planned the gathering and normally I have a pretty good handle on the lyrics, but there's certain songs where I'm just like, man, I need that first line. And it, normally, you know, Matt, our pastor, is also the one, he's like running the power, you know, the proclaim thing or whatever at the same time. And so he's doing that and he's just like, he nailed it. Mm-hmm. But I realized my trust in him had eroded. Like, you know, when he hadn't switched into like, I'm hitting that next chord. It was like, come on, man, come on. Show me you still got it. Yes.
Single beat of sweat.
Oh just... man. So
no,
bad.
That happened. Have you ever had this happen? Like last weekend, we were playing Gyra, and you guys saved me because I was playing electric, and we can talk about electric later. But I was just in this complete weird, like it wasn't weird. It was just a joyful place, and I was like, I forgot what the next line is. Like, I was just like in this place of just like, I don't, you know, and I was just like, and it was an easy line. It wasn't like a hard, it was the forever enough, always enough, more than enough. And, right. and that's not hard, but I just like blanked and I was just standing there and it wasn't the slide guy's fault, you know, it was mine. I was just in this place of joy and just like smiling. And then I just laughed at myself because I'm like, well, what am I going to do?
Well, I feel like it's unfair with those kind of songs where there's, you know, forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Like you mm-hmm. have to get that order right.
Right.
Otherwise it doesn't sing right.
Oh yeah.
But they all end with enough.
Yeah.
Which is great to sing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I mean, there's been times when I've written songs and I'm like, oh, I'll put this little twist in and nobody ever sings that. They always just sing it the way it's been the whole time. And yeah. you're like, you know what? I guess that's the new lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going to do it. It's going to do it that
guys,
way.
Yeah. So you guys rewrote it for me. Thank you.
Thanks for fixing my song.
Yeah. It's almost like when you sing a hymn and there's always that one person who sings the hymn loud enough for you to hear that you're singing it wrong.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. That's never happened to me. Yeah, when the congregation is teaching you the song, you're like, yeah. Oh, I heard this version, but Chris Tomlin changed this, yeah. I guess. And I didn't go to hymnal.org yeah. to hear the MIDI play and yeah. tell me what the actual melody is.
Yeah, for real.
And then they're just like, you punk kid. Mm-hmm. Though we're looking less and less like punk kids now.
I know.
There was a time.
There was a time that we were the punk kids, and now we're pointing our fingers. we're like, play more Paul Balazs.
That's real worship.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, so talk to me a little bit. Tell me about... So you're saying you're coming, you're making this move from kind of this, from the time of mourning to a time of joy. Mm-hmm. And that there are, while there's, it's hard to see people leave. Mm-hmm. It's also great to see new things come in. Like, what are the things that you're seeing that are more looking forward? Like, what do you look into the future with right now and go like, you know, this is where we're going. Like, where are you leading your team right now?
Man, I'm leading them, with a lot of faith. And a lot of hope, but I'm leading them into music. I mean, thank goodness that we've had, you know, we make fun of Maverick, but there's been a move to these songs that have very gospel-y
yeah.
chords. Like even a song like Graves into Gardens, right? Mm-hmm. Like just a really fun, like joy-filled song, but also a reminder of like, you know, God's power and his beauty and everything. And, you know, so really working with songs like that, and I feel like the music, the chords that we're using, like a song like Never Lost, right?
Oh, I love that song.
And it's just so, you know, yeah, there are some funky chords in there, but being able to teach people how to play it, you know, like I told my team, I was like, once you get it under your fingers, it's easy. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take some practice on your part.
Right.
Right. And, you know, we have a...
I mean, thing. Ron, that applies to everything. Once you get under fingers, yeah. It's easy.
Right. Well, it does. But, you know, some people, like, they're like, oh, I'm going to listen to it on the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So do you warn them? Or are you kind of yeah. like, hey, guys, just so you know, you're going to want to get ready for this.
Oh, one. Yeah. We have a Facebook page, like a private Facebook page that I just like, hey, here's a song that's coming up, you know. And with that one, I said, next month in October, we're going to do this song. And, you know, piano players, be ready because you're carrying the load. Also, you know, there's these funky chords. There's like, you know, sharp 13 flat nines. So be ready. And I said, you know, we've got this one guy, Bill, who's a jazz head. So I was like, Bill's going to be happy. You know? But all the rest of us, you know, it's a practice fest, you know.
Totally.
Because, I mean, that's definitely not a song. There are those songs that are like, yeah, I could.
Yeah.
I could listen to this and be like, fake my way through.
For sure.
And then practice.
Oh, after. Yeah. It is funny because when I'm arranging songs for worship artistry, a lot of times it's funny because we'll listen to it as a teacher group. Like we'll all kind of mm-hmm. like, all right, let's listen to this one. So for example, like Maverick City, those songs are all like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they get repetitive, and we usually stop them at the point where, which we've never really done this before. Mm-hmm. Usually we'll just go all the way to the end, but because they do so much improvisation, or vocalists are like, mm-hmm. I mean, what are we going to do? You know, this isn't going to work. And mm-hmm. so we'll sit back and listen to it and go like, okay, this is where the song kind of naturally stops. And then it goes into a more improvised mm-hmm. section. And then, but then when we're all talking about it, sometimes we're like, oh, this song's only 3 minutes long. You know, this is going to be a nice, easy one. We'll all be able to knock this one out real quick. Mm-hmm. And then there's Daniel like, have you listened to the bass lines on this song? Like, it's crazy, right? It's
right.
Like, it's live. And so therefore the bass player is kind of like, this is my moment. Mm-hmm. And then he's feeling it. And in the live environment, it's great. But as a teacher, you're like, okay, I mean, what do I take and teach? Mm-hmm. What do I go? But when you do have those kind of songs, it is so satisfying to get those. Like I guarantee mm-hmm. you, your piano players, as they're playing it, if it's kind of challenging at first, all mm-hmm. of a sudden it'll land and it'll be like, oh, mm-hmm. I loved it. But when are we playing that song next?
Right.
You know, because when you get stretched, that feels really good.
Right. Yeah. No. And you know, the same goes for, I don't know if you listen to Israel Houghton's Feels Like Home, I think the album was called, but he did a version of Echo on there. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I sat down, I chorded it out, and I was just like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And, like, It was on, luckily at the time, it was online on YouTube. It was pirated. Mm-hmm. So like, but I'm just like looking at fingers, like where, okay, where are they doing? Because there's so many intricate parts. But we had one band that just like, you know, we have a group and they were like, yeah, when are we playing that song? Like you could just put that song on for the rest of the year and I'd be good, you know? And I'm like, okay, you know, but because they just loved it, you know, because it was so different. It felt different. There's hits and there's like, you know, very like fun things to do with it.
Right. So. Which are all really enjoyable things. I mean, right. I used to, when I was in college, I played, I remember going to the, I went in the Midwest and kind of more in the South. And the first worship service I went to at on our campus, they never had words. There's never any lyrics on the screen. It was just like, you just got to know this song.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much did not know these songs. And they were more kind of like, some of them were like Kirk Franklin, kind of like those kind of like gospel tunes. And I remember trying out for Music Ministries and I was just like, he's telling me like, oh yeah, you just want to play like the diminished seven right there. And then he went, and I'm like, I don't know any of the words that you're saying, you know? And I was so grateful that I had a guy next to me that was like, it's like this, you know, he's kind of showing me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so challenging. Like I felt so challenged. I ended up making the team and I ended up being so challenged in that band, but I learned so many, I learned an entire different style of playing, you know? I mean, a lot of it just involved Chicka Chickas with a wah pedal because I was like, these are safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to mess this up. And then all of a sudden Reggie, the drummer would just be like throwing some crazy subdivided fill. And you're like, I got to hang in, land it.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a drummer like that. And his name's AJ and he used to play in Houston and by way of Arizona. But he made his way up here. He's a coach at Western but he plays drums. And I was telling our bass player, because our bass player is very like, you know, very doop, 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 you know.
Yep.
And he's very.
I wish everyone could see the moves you're making right now. It's kind of a shoulder bop.
It's like a shoulder doop, doop, doop. And AJ is like a gospel drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over to the bass player and I was like, dude, he is giving you so much space. Like, you could play like this. If you're on a minor, here's this, you know, here's like little things that you could play that make you look like you know what you're doing, you know, because he's still a beginner. But, you know, throwing him to the wolves like that too, like, you know, where he's playing with this guy who's a level, you know, level 10 drummer, and he's like a level, I would say he's a seven. He just needs to get out of his box. But, you know, it just increased him as a bass player. He was like, when can I play again? You know, it's one of those things, like we were saying, it's like musicians getting challenged. They're like, oh yes, you know.
Well, how do you handle that as the worship leader when you have, I think we all have very different levels of musician on our team, right? And so I know even with my small church and my small team, it's a lot of variation. You know, there's some people I can just be like, just play and you'll be fine. And there's other ones, it's like, you're going to play this note.
Right.
And then you're going to go to this and then this and then this. And I'm going to send it to you a week in advance so you can practice that. And then maybe you'll nail it on Sunday. You know?
Right.
How do you help those players kind of even out, and also both from the kind of the guy that needs a lot of work to get better, as well as those really good players that might find themselves a little frustrated? Because I've also found myself in that scenario. Mm-hmm. There's a guy I played with for a whole tour who was a phenomenal bass player, like jazz musician.
Was it Daniel?
It was not Daniel. He's terrible. Are you kidding me? Just kidding. No, he's amazing. Daniel is like totally my kind of bass player. That's just like, you're just going to lay it down and it's going to be great. And you're going to add all these little things that are just like perfect. But this other guy, his name was Adam Mitchell, and he was phenomenal. But he used to get so frustrated because the rest of us weren't, you know, like we were good enough to play the songs as they were. But then he'd be like, well, why don't we throw in this crazy jazz line in the middle of the thing? And we'd all be like, because that doesn't really go. And he's like, well, it can if we hit it right, you know. And there was always a challenge there. And, you know, years later, we still get along. We still, you know, talk every once in a while and stuff. So he wouldn't mind me saying that because he would definitely say, yes, you did frustrate the heck out of me. But man, when he would push us and we'd get it, it was awesome. So how do you help your players kind of find satisfaction playing on both ends of that spectrum?
Well, number one, plug Worship Artistry. Like,
thank you.
At least twice a year.
I need a little bell that goes off every time somebody says Worship Artistry.
Well, I try to at least twice a year, like, remind people, like, we have a subscription and here are the songs, you know. And especially like a song like Gyra, because Gyra is so like, it's a counting song, you know, I'm telling people like, it's not as easy as you think it might be. So you need to, you know, I said they've got a full band, everything. But like for other people, you know, there's also those times that I have to like just point people in a good direction, right? Mm-hmm. Like my friend Chris, the bass player, you know, I'm like, you play with a great percussive style. You're always pocket, but I need you to expand, you know, I need you to expand. And then I'll tell him like, cause he's a music head. Mm-hmm. So I'll be like, here are the musicians to listen to. Like here are bass players that are doing it.
Like who are the ones you're going for?
I mean, right now, because we're playing more gospel oriented styles, I always point them to like, you know, the bass player for Israel Houghton. Mm-hmm. I'd send them to like, there's a guy, local guy from Yakima, Alan Stone. His bass player is always just pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of that blue-eyed soul. You know, and people who are older, I'm like, you know, Hall & Oates, like even Duran's drum bass player, like it's you know, processed and synthesized sometimes, but it's like that guy, like he ripped and it was so good. And so I just like try to find, I always try to find out too, like who they listen to.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, oh, you listen to, you know, 90s rock. Well, here are the, you know, here are some good.
How can you tell?
Yeah.
I noticed you're really hanging on that metal zone.
Right.
Maybe we could turn off that pedal.
Yeah.
Try something different.
Yeah. Oh, that pedal. I haven't seen that since 92. So.
Is that a Dodd Grunge?
Yeah.
What is that?
But, you know, I always try to find out, like, who are they listening to? And then, like, I always, like, music is the easiest way, you know, and then be like, oh man, if you've heard that guy, like this is a guy too, like, or this girl, you know, like, who was it? There's this bass player before Prince passed away. There was this bass player. I follow her on Instagram and I think she's like, Danielle Bass or something like that. But, oh man, like she was crazy. She is crazy. Like her bass playing is just like another level. And it was just so fun to listen to and just be like, oh. But
I love to hear that, because I think a lot of times with worship, we spend a lot of times trying to get people to dumb it down. You know, like every workshop you go to for a worship band is always like, just play simpler. Don't solo through the whole song. Don't do like, which is all important. That's true.
Yeah,
because what that's really trying to say is play like a band.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that your band has to be really simple.
Yeah.
Right. Like as long as you're locking in and as long as you're doing those things, I mean, I'm learning stuff from like worship artistry songs all the time. Like I'll grab it and be like, oh man, I didn't even hear that in there, but oh, there it is right there. And oh, look at how that locks together and helps me think about these instruments should double each other, but this one should play off. Like I love, a lot of times we post on Instagram whenever there's the electric guitar and the piano doing different things that just kind of lock in together. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the best.
Well, I always tell my band too, I'm like, you know, if you guys like move or go to another church for some reason, you know, like I want to send you as like the best musician that you can be so that you can bless the next church that you're at. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell them, you know, that's why we play a certain, like I try to delve into all the styles, you know, like, you know, bluegrass to gospel to straight ahead rock and roll to, you know, I want them to be able to be so that when, if they get another worship director or pastor, that's like, okay, we're going to do this song. They won't be like, ooh, but instead they'll be like, oh, okay, this is, you know, yeah, I can do this. Yeah.
I can hang there.
We played a song kind of like this, so I think I can figure this out.
Yeah. And so much of that is just exposure, right?
Right.
It's just kind of being able to see. And it's hard when you're, I know for a long time for myself, you know, people be like, oh, listen to this particular artist or whatever. And it was so out of the zone of what I listened to that it's like, I'm good. You know, like, right. So for you trying to go, what do you listen to? And then mm-hmm. let me try and give you somebody to kind of expand your horizons that still fit in that world, I think it's a really great idea. And it is inspiring. You know, like I always find if I'm getting stuck, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm not writing or if I'm not coming up with interesting arrangements for church or whatever I'm doing, mm-hmm. it's usually because I'm not listening to music.
Right.
I'm listening to way too much Seahawks radio mm-hmm. and, you know, and not enough just, oh, wow. Cause I'll listen to Spotify and you walk away being totally inspired. Mm-hmm. A lot of people look at that as a, like, well, you're just copying that. And it's like, no, I'm inspired by that groove. Mm-hmm. Let me go make a song that has a similar groove, or let me go work that into other stuff. So you were telling me earlier that you've been making a musical switch for yourself.
Oh yeah.
From leading. And so I'm curious to know how that's going.
Well, I'm by trade, I'm actually like my first instrument was bass. And then when I became like a worship leader in the front, I should say, when I got pushed up front, I had to learn acoustic. Mm-hmm. So I became an acoustic player, and acoustic's my first instrument now. And it's like, I'm making a switch from acoustic to electric, you know, just because I'm like, you know, I got to challenge myself and I want to try new things. And so I've been trying to lead more with electric. And so like earlier I was talking about how in Gyra, you know, we introduced the song and I was like, well, I'm going to play electric on this. So I better learn. And, you know, because of worship artistry, I was able to find those parts. I was like, oh, okay. I think I can do this. I'm okay with this. But like the switch is so hard because I'm like acoustic is so rhythmic. And I'm a very percussive player, you know, in the sense of like playing weird rhythms. Mm-hmm. And I've just like grown accustomed to that. A lot of palm muting, a lot of like hitting and you know, now with electric, I'm finding electric is more of a finesse instrument. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, you know, I'm like, oh, I can't beat my guitar up anymore.
Man, that's just really out of tune now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like tuning every song. I'm like, oh, no, no. I even, you know, I'm so new. I didn't know how to string my electric properly. Like I had a friend there and he goes, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm stringing my guitar. He goes, no.
No, you're not.
Let me show you. And he showed me how to do it, you know, and I've been playing acoustic for dang, like 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, that's how new I am with electric. And so like, I'm learning really quickly. It's less jangle and more cha, 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 cha.
Just those, you know, yeah. Little arpeggios, right. You know, throw some triads in there. Just, you know,
exactly. I'm like, My trick that I learned is to go with, or what I was doing last week, and I could be totally wrong, but like hitting with the snare. So it's like, dang, dang.
Totally.
it's been an interesting switch, and you know, I'm excited just because it's new.
Yeah.
And nervous because I'm out front with it because I'm trying to lead with it.
Well, if you've got, you know, the thing is, if you've got a good, you know, I found that I usually lead on acoustic. Mm-hmm. And like you said, acoustic, you can just hold the rhythm down, mm-hmm. you know, and electric guitar just doesn't do that as well. Like you can, but you almost like really need that drummer and bass player to like I played in a 3-piece a number of years ago and it was really fun because mm-hmm. I had a really good drummer and a really good bass player and I played electric mm-hmm. and it was just a, you know, rock band or whatever, but it allowed me to have space because they held down the rhythm so much.
Right.
Right. And then whereas like, you know, I lead worship and half the time I don't have a drummer or, you know, a percussion instrument or whatever. And so I'm always driving it,
right.
You know, and always thinking that way. But when you can actually like sit back into a groove and just be like, I just can just hit on that 1, 2, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. throwing that little riff here and there, like, and really trust your band. It really kind of changes things up, but it is, I've tried to take my electric guitar and just lead on that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know how to do that.
Right.
You know, I can, you know, when we were doing, when we were doing remote, every once in a while, I would just lead on the electric guitar. It sounds beautiful. mm-hmm. but it doesn't fill up a room the same way.
Right.
It just doesn't.
It's true.
So you go, so I brought it before where I was the only one leading worship, but then I'm like, you know, I'm glad I brought the acoustic as a backup. We're just going to put this away.
Right.
Because this is what's going to lead people. Like something about being in a room mm-hmm. with a bunch of people is a different thing than just sitting in my studio, just mm-hmm. arpeggiating these little things. You're like, nope, they need more.
No, it's true. It's like, you know, we played a song called Promise Keeper. It's by Hope Darst. And it's very like subby bass, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, what do I do? I'm just like, you know, let's hit that open G and just like fill out some sound. And
which is like the best.
Right. It really is. It's like the best for an, I feel like for me on electric, it's amazing just to be like, you know, just to hit that chord and just be like, feel that old lady in the front row. Like, it's amazing.
I'm going to send it here. Yeah. I've said so many times, I'm like, there is no better sound than a G chord mm-hmm. on a bridge pickup of a Telecaster through an AC-30. There just isn't. Like, if you can find one, let me know. But I don't think it exists.
I mean, yeah, you're probably right.
Maybe an E on a Les Paul.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh, yeah.
Different thing, though.
Yeah, totally different. But yeah, I just like, you know, for me, I knew I needed a challenge too. And it's something that I've been wanting to do for the longest time. But, you know, something just in me was like, nope, you got to do it now. Like, otherwise, you'll never do it. And then, so I just started playing electric and, you know.
Well, it's awesome too, because you're leading by example, right? Like you're talking about how you like to challenge your musicians.
Right.
And if you're always like, all right, I'm going to challenge you guys. And all right, no, we're always going to play in the key of C because that is where I am most comfortable with on my guitar.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's like, oh, that.
Or in piano. I'm like, okay, we're only playing all the white keys. So. Oh,
for sure. I actually, my little secret is whenever if I'm recording a song, and I know that it's, and I'm going to play down some piano part or whatever, no matter what key it's in, mm-hmm. I record it in C, and then just click and highlight all, quantize, and drag it to whatever key I need it in.
That's amazing.
And somewhere Ryan throws up in another room. Right. Hears that and just, oh.
Oh, that's the thing, man. Ryan's the piano player, right? Oh, like when I was courting out Never Lost, man, that guy is a gem.
Oh, he's...
Like
he knows so much more than me. I call him and ask him advice all the time. If it's like theory or something, I'm okay, what is this thing called?
Yeah. I mean, he's what a great like musician to have to look at and it, like for those weird chords.
Yeah. He's a total stud.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this real quick. Cause like I said, I just love the thing about it. You're one of the people that I know personally, mm-hmm. Who has used worship artistry, mm-hmm. and your team has like bought into it.
Oh yeah.
So I'm curious how you went about doing that, because I think that's a real challenge. Anytime we ever try and do anything new, right? Mm-hmm. You come in and you're like, hey, we're gonna do this, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to get, especially volunteers, to make a shift away from, oh, this is what I've always done, to doing that. You know, worship artistry, I believe is an incredible tool to help mm-hmm. people grow as musicians and bands play together and like play with confidence. But how did you get your people to get on board
with worship artistry?
Yeah.
So when I was at Roosevelt, I had a small account. Mm-hmm. I had the three person account, and I used it, you know, just to kind of keep a pulse on what was going on as far as like, Where is worship music headed? What are the top songs? Because mm-hmm. I knew you guys pulled from the top songs. And back then it was just you on acoustic. But for me, you know, as an acoustic mm-hmm. player, I was like, oh, this is great. You know, yeah. And so like learning. But then when I went to Cornwall, I had a bigger team. And then I talked to, some of the leaders that were already there, and I was like, hey, there's this, you know, worship artistry, you know, and then you added bass, piano, and you were adding drums as well. And so I was like, would this be a good tool? Like, do you think this would be a great tool to use? And everyone was like on board with it. They're like, yeah, you know, from the people like me who are new on an instrument and saying like, oh, I can learn how to play this. This is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, to like the seasoned veterans, you know, like who are like, man, I can't figure that part out.
Right.
And then they go in and they just like buffer or they, you know, they scrub to like, where
there's the bridge. Click to the bridge.
Oh, okay. That's what they're doing, you know? Yeah. And then they're like, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. The rest I can figure out, you know? It's, and everybody like every time I announce like, hey guys, just a reminder, we've got this subscription because, you know, it's worth every penny because people are always like, love this resource, you know, mm-hmm. even though like it's a closed group and everyone knows everyone that's in the group. It's always like, this is a great resource. I love this, you know,
that's awesome.
Like Phyllis, our piano player, she's 70 plus. I'm not going to give her exact age, but she,
we'll call her above 60.
Yeah. She'll send me texts. She'll be like, hey, I'm in Maui learning the piano part for this weekend, you know, and she'll send a picture of her by the pool on her iPad,
that's
you
awesome.
Know, watching it. Like, you know, for her, you know, for all of us, it's just like a great resource. And so like everyone's bought in because they've seen what it can do, mm-hmm. you know, because, well, from my point, I had to keep telling them like, here's the great resource. Like,
you. I noticed you don't know that part this week.
Right. Hey.
I noticed that's not what we're all playing.
Mm-hmm. Especially with new songs, though. Like, when it's a new song and it's on there, and I'm like, it's on Worship Artistry. Go there, you know. And I'll be like, don't forget, here's the password. And here's, you know. Like, I make it as, you know, blatant as possible. Especially, like I said, Gyra's a counting song. And I told them, I was like, you're going to be counting your butt off. Like, it's just like, you know. And I, you know, the funny thing is I found out that some people count. Like, I count in, if we're in 4-4, I count in fours.
Right.
But some people are like, oh, I just count to eight. Like, if they're really? Like, I hold, so like, they'll count like on the that is enough part. That is enough. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That is enough. And I'm like, why do you do that? It's, there's four bar, like four measures every bar, you know? And I'm just like, it's four beats. Like, why are you counting to seven? They're like, it just makes sense. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
Well, it's one of my favorite. Counting is such an interesting thing. You know, my son's been learning bass, and mm-hmm. the beauty of that is he's all of a sudden like, Dad, you ever listen to Radiohead? You're like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about that. But it's just fun because he'll like put on a song, and I'll just be like, you hear that count? Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about. You know, we have the very musical part of leading mm-hmm. worship and teams and working with people. How do you nourish yourself spiritually?
You know, one of the things, like a question that you asked and we've talked about before was, what is it that keeps me going?
Mm-hmm.
And there was this book I read in college, and I try to read it once a year still because it's called The Power and the Glory. It's by a guy named Graham Greene, and he was cool because he was just a dude. He was Catholic, but he was an international man of mystery. He was a spy. And so like he wrote all these books, from different countries that he was a spy in. And so like this book was about, a priest, who's trying to escape Mexico because, you know, it's communist Mexico suddenly, and they're getting rid of religion. So he's like, I'm out of here. I gotta go. And, but as you delve more and more into who he is, they call him the whiskey priest, you know, cause he's a drinker. He's got a kid, and, mm-hmm. you know, he's got all these things that are quote unquote wrong with him in the eyes of the church. And, but he also has this burden on his shoulders as a priest to keep going back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, someone comes and says, hey, I've got a dying grandma. And she needs her last rites, so can you come perform that? And he goes, mm-hmm. you know, this town needs communion. Can you come serve communion? You know, and he goes. And I feel like, though I'm not Catholic, I do feel that it's not a burden. It's just like a responsibility to my congregation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a responsibility to, that's what keeps me going. I feel a responsibility to the people that I'm serving that, you know, as simple as my, you know, it may seem like, you know, every week worship leaders, we get up, play some guitar, sing some songs. There's still some responsibility in that, in the sense of like, we have been given this, you know, 20 minutes, you know, in my sense, I've been given 20 minutes and I can, you know, I've got 20 minutes to tell people about Jesus, who he is, you know, and, characteristics of Jesus, his the promises of God, like these different things, you know, I get 20 minutes to do that. And so like, there's a craft that we are responsible for, you know, and just like the whiskey priest, like we got to keep going back and, and serving our congregation in that way.
Yeah, calling is so important.
Right.
I've thought about, you know, a lot about my kids as they're growing up and just our culture in general and just how, where I see people really struggling with is a sense of calling, is a sense of purpose. You know, as our culture more and more, you know, we're anxious, we're adrift. We keep kind of pushing away things. There's a lot of people who have pushed away church, pushed away God, you know, and I'm looking at it and going, but there, I have the same thing. I have that sense of calling. Like, gosh, what is it? 500 something songs I've taught at this point, you
right,
know, like,
right.
But there's just that, like, no, somebody needs to learn this song. Somebody's church needs to sing this song. Somebody, one person like needs this song. And me as the worship leader, whether I'm teaching on worship artistry or whether I'm bringing things to my own congregation, it is that sense of like, I am called to this.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I want my team, the people that I minister with, to feel that sense of calling as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so how do you get your team to grab onto that calling as a team, and not just that sense of individual, well, this is what I'm doing.
You know, time spent with them is a big one. Like whether it's individually or it's like as a group, and obviously that was harder this last year. Like, you know, but
you guys want to get on a Zoom call and all talk to each other.
Yeah.
We love those.
Yeah. Let's do Zoom. And everyone's like, yeah, I won't be there, but I'll show up 45 minutes late. Then I'm like, what's new? No, it's time spent, but also like in reminding people, like, this is something we don't have to do this. We get to do this. You know, it's flipping that mindset of like, we get to do this. Like, it's like, if you weren't doing this and you felt that burden to serve your church in some way, you know, it's like, you could be shaking hands. Like, you could be serving with children's ministry.
I joined the worship team so I didn't have to turn and shake hands with the person sitting next to me.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I'm up here in my safe bubble. Right. But at the same time, it's also like, you know, communicating like, no, we get to do this. Like every week, like God has allowed us to come up and play music and grab people by the shirts and tell them like, this is where we're headed.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, you know, when people are when we're reminded of those things, then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. We get to do that. because it's so easy to fall into, oh, I gotta go to Thursday night rehearsal, you know?
Well, Ron, thanks so much, man, for coming in. It's always great to talk to you. And, you know, I definitely am taking away things from what you're saying. And, you know, it challenges me to challenge my musicians, which I love. That's such a natural, it's such a natural place to be. And it's to not only take responsibility in challenging them, but also take responsibility in helping equip them as well so that they can meet that challenge. And you're just an awesome example of doing that. And so thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Man, Ron Pye, that's a fantastic last name. And if you store your podcasts in the cloud, you literally have pie in the sky. Next week, steak on a plate. Oh, well.
I don't know. Your post-interview joke game is on. I think last week you talked about our Mayflower.
Oh, yeah.
Our Mayflower subscriber.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, what a fantastic interview, though. Seriously, awesome stuff. But I've also got something more exciting. Well, as exciting. We've got one of our first shout-outs.
Yes, our first shout out comes from Mr. Mike Epps. Daniel?
Yeah. So Mike says, I'm so proud of every member of our musical team, but if I were to select one today, I would shout out Isaac. I met Isaac when he was still in high school. He was the drummer for the church. He's really awesome sensitivity when playing, so he's able to play with dynamics without killing the drums and our open environment. As we started to look at how the youth could lead particular Sundays, it became the youth and the old fart. I can't say fart on this, can I?
He's talking about himself. It's okay.
Okay. Youth and the old fart, me, leading as the youth band. Isaac is also one of those talented guys that can play multiple instruments and he can play acoustic guitar. I asked him whether he would be willing to select the songs for Sunday and lead with the rest of the youth. After a couple of Sundays, the training wheels were off and the youth band was leading the congregation in musical worship for a regular rotation. He's in his second year in university now. Every time that he's back home, he jumps right in to assist and play or lead. A real leader, and I'm proud of him. I can't wait to see how God continues to work through him in his journey. That is awesome.
That is really cool.
Sounds like there's some mentoring going on, and that's what church is all about. That's really cool.
Well, you know, it's funny because I read that, and you know, I thought about myself as a kid. Not that I'm as awesome as Isaac, but just the fact that how my church gathered around and like really tried to encourage the youth to lead in the larger services and just really gathered around us. So Mike, I'm going to shout out you for just for being one of those people who is pushing, is giving kids opportunity. And Isaac it sounds like an awesome example of your work. So kudos to you as well. I will take issue though with the fact that you said Isaac plays multiple instruments and acoustic guitar. I don't know why acoustic guitar didn't make the list of instruments, of real music instruments, but I'll take issue with that. But
usually it's the drums that suffer that fate.
Totally.
We always used to joke like that when we walk into a restaurant. We say, we've got three musicians and a drummer for dinner, please.
Awesome. Well, hey, if you want to give a shout out, we would love it if you would do that. You can hit us up, support@worshipartistry.com, and just say shout out in the headline, and we'll be sure to put it on the list. It's a huge deal, I think, for people to really just be recognized for what they're doing, and we're glad that you guys have already jumped in. Some other things that you can jump in on, if you want to learn electric guitar or acoustic guitar or bass or drums or keyboard or vocal harmonies, you can go check out worshipartistry.com and help equip your team and get more people like Isaac rolling. Get them in there. Get them support. You can try it out 21 days for free. And if you want to support the podcast and you don't want to do that, please head over to iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a review. We could use them, especially every time, because we do things seasonally. It's really helpful when every new season comes along to make it 5 stars for sure. And don't be afraid to give us feedback. If you really like what we're doing, let us know. If you have suggestions, you know, we go and check those out every once in a while. So would love it if you share those as well. Daniel, you need to go back to bed. I will see you later.
I will crawl into bed and I'll see you in the next podcast.